The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It's time for the Pick Show, Week 9 Best Bets. Reminder that we are doing a midseason mailbag type thing. So if you want to leave a 5-star review and tell us something, I don't know, ask any question, we will answer it on the mailbag. This is the White and Tan Show as well. RJ White, Kenny White, and Pete Prisco joining me. What's going on, fellas?
What's up?
How you doing?
I look pretty tan. I don't know. I look pretty tan in this shot right here.
Bar tan. Yeah.
Yeah. You're tanner than I am. I haven't been in the sun in God knows when. We haven't seen the sun in South Florida in probably about 4 weeks.
Really?
Right, RJ? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a tropical storm this week. So, boy, just never ends.
Ooh, tropical storm.
Oh, fun. It's cold here now. It's not a. Sort of like my picks this week. I went 2-6. Is that 2-6? I thought it was like 2-4. Ay, ay, ay. Two bad beats, as I pointed out before the show. The Chargers have to cover, and the under in the Bears game. I mean, that should have been a lock the whole time, and that game ended up going to overtime. Pete changed some stuff around. I went 4-2 to remain hot. Kenny and RJ both 3-4. So sort of a predictable turn. After we bragged about going 22.
What about the parlay? It probably went rotten too, right?
The parlay did go rotten. We had the Bears Saints under, the 49ers.
0-3.
Bills Pats under, yes, 0-3.
So if you faded everything, you had a good parlay.
And maybe fading the Seahawks was a bad idea. All right, let's get into it. By the way, overall records, Pete, 32-15-1. Kenny, 24-15-1. Brinson, 30-21. RJ 31-22-1. So still doing very well in the season. It's not a catastrophe. It's a little speed bump. We're going to turn it right back around. And we'll start.
You guys trying to drag me into your abyss this week.
Get off of me.
I'm telling you, I'm waiting for the rotten week. I'm waiting for a 1-5 for me. I'm just waiting for it.
I mean, that's the key is you just have to dodge the, like I do a picks league where we pick every game against the spread. You just have to dodge the 3-win week.
Yeah.
Pete, it's easy though not to go 1-5 though. Just don't play 6, just play 5.
Four games. That's
right. Just get 5 every week from here on out. Then you can never go 1-5.
That's good. Good point.
All right. We'll start with a big time AFC matchup. The Ravens -2.5 at the Indianapolis Colts. The over under here, 47. Kenny. I know that you talked about this on our CBS Sports HQ Pick Six podcast show, and you've got something you like in this game.
Yeah, you know, I have so many sheets going today, but I talked about scoring going down. It started out the season 47 in week one, jumped up into the 50s for 5 straight weeks, and then 47.5, but then went back up to 50.5, back down last week to 47.5. And I think that's where scoring is going to come down. So the total's still just a little bit too high. They haven't made the adjustment back down again. Looking at both these clubs, I like, you know, they're right now, they're just better on the defensive end than they're on the offensive end. Lamar Jackson went from MVP to the 18th best quarterback on Pro Football Focus. The Indianapolis defense has been great all year. They've been steady and consistent. Just not giving up yards. Baltimore's defense has been extremely solid. Only one bad game, and that was against Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes. So this is a big game. Both teams at 5-2 right now. I think the total's just a little bit too high. I like it under.
I'm on board with everything Kenny said. I also have a best bet on under. Indy's third in DVOA overall, but they're fifth versus the run and also second in yards per rush allowed. That's how Baltimore runs the ball. As you said, Lamar Jackson's struggling. So they're still a great run offense, but if Indy can defend the run and they have, you know, all season, then that should be good on them. Baltimore also has a top 5 D like Kenny was saying. So with the strength of these Ds and these teams being the under, Colts are also in a teaser for me at +8.5. It's actually come down a little bit as we are recording. It's now 1.5 everywhere. numbers. So if you're teasing it, you're still getting 7.5, which is a good number. But either way, I think the Colts probably come away with this game. I would like them if I'm just taking the points, but, I'm going to tease it up and be safe because this should be a low scoring close game.
Yeah. You know, I have the Colts. Yesterday we did the pick show with Will and me and Brady, and I said the Ravens, but I've actually picked the Colts, and the more I think about it, I'm with you guys on that. I don't think it's going to be an under. That's where I'm differing from you guys, but I'm with you on the Colts. I just think that defense is pretty good, but I think Phillip Rivers is starting to play really well too. So I'll take the Colts as well. So there you go. 3 for 3.
All right. I'm on the Colts as well. I have the Colts as a best bet. Look, I mean, the only thing that concerns me at the under, and I like the under. I think it's a good call. I've been trying to take Colts unders for a while, and I just keep getting torched on them. I wanted the Colts Lions under. It didn't work. Here's the Ravens had already placed Marlon Humphrey on the COVID list when they announced yesterday that they were placing defensive back Terrell Bonds, linebacker Tyus Bowser, safety Deshaun Elliott, linebacker LJ Ford, linebacker Malik Harrison, linebacker Matthew Judon, and linebacker Patrick Queen all on the reserve COVID list. Now,
yeah, but some of those guys can play.
Right, exactly. They're probably going to play, but they're not, like, they're losing a lot of practice time. And, you know, Indianapolis has a pretty good offense. They have a good offensive line. And I agree with you, Pete. Phillip Rivers are playing really good football right now. But there's some clowns out there, some surface level clowns. You know, they're like the fantasy guys, the gambling yellers. I'm not going to name any names, but they called
Phillip Rivers.
I know a few of those guys. They called Phillip Rivers washed up. Well, who looks like a moron now? Maybe.
What about my bet from the combine with JLC and JJ?
Yeah, they've been giving you crap about that constantly. And Rivers.
And who's having a better year, Rivers or Teddy?
Oh, Rivers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I will take the Colts as a best bet.
I don't have the Colts as one of my best bets, by the way. It's just,
do you want to take the
Colts? Colts aren't even a play for me. I didn't play them. I made Baltimore 1.5, and then Baltimore's coming off a loss, a game they should have won. I'm on the under only in that game.
Okay, so we can have nothing for the parlay in this one then.
Nothing for the parlay. I do like what RJ talked about with the tees of the Colts. I don't think the Colts.
Yeah, I think the tees with the Colts is actually really good.
I agreed with that too. Teasing up over a touchdown with a lower scoring game.
So if we feel like be lower, we can't scoring. Put them in a parlay though. So obviously that makes no sense.
Or we could change the Pick Six podcast parlay to a Pick Six podcast teaser, but that looks sort of weak. Saints at the Bucs. The Bucs are -4.5 in Tampa. The over under 51.5, Kenny.
Yeah, you know, so many things come down to it's going to be one player, and I think he's playing, Michael Thomas. It just makes their offense a completely different offense. It makes Drew Brees that much of a better quarterback. And I always say wide receivers are a dime a dozen, but when you got a guy like Michael Thomas, 149 receptions and only 175 targets, this guy catches everything thrown to him, and he's catching 10 passes a game almost. That type of receiver is a 2-point guy, and that's a big difference in this football game. I think the line is a little overinflated. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have played great. I was against them this weekend because I didn't think that Brady would be as sharp, and I didn't think the team would be as sharp against a weak Giant team when they were looking ahead to this game. But I still think it's too many points at 4.5. I think this is a game that comes down to a field goal by either team. I'm not going to be shocked if the Saints win the game by a field goal. I'm not going to be shocked if the Bucs win the game by a field goal. So it's going to be a close one, I think.
Yeah, I like both sides of this line. It's at one point Tampa did a great job stopping a healthy New Orleans team in week one. Michael Thomas played in that game. Tampa only allowed 271 yards in that game. New Orleans still won due to turnovers, but Tampa Bay's offense eventually got in rhythm. They're not making the same type of turnovers now. But Tampa Bay's defense blitzes a ton. But Brees is second to Mahomes in passer rating when blitzed since the start of 2019. So if you blitz Brees, that's where he can be effective. Get those weapons back. They'll be more effective on offense. I agree. It'll be enough to keep it close. And I would lean Saints, even though I'm not making it a best bet.
See, I'm leaning the other way. I didn't make it a best bet, but I don't love it. But I would lean to the Bucs. I just think that they're starting to play a little bit better on offense. Who knows what Antonio Brown's going to bring to them. But Chris Godwin will be back. So I like the Bucs in the game. I just – back-to-back road games for the Saints, I know it kind of is offset by the short week. I'll lean to the Bucs. I don't love them, but I'll lean that way.
I like the Bucs in this spot. I'm making them a best bet. I know that it's a lot of points, and Michael Thomas could be back, and the Saints are a good team, and they're coming around. Their defense isn't very good. They're just not very good. and Drew Brees isn't Drew Brees. The Buccaneers are really good. And I think that that was a look ahead spot for them against the Giants on Monday night. And I mean, Kenny, you talked about it on the podcast. I didn't pay attention enough. And so I will take the Buccaneers. I think that they can do basically whatever they want on offense. And I think that they will be able to lock down the Saints enough to win this game by a full touchdown. So I will take the Buccaneers as a best bet. Panthers at Chiefs. Chiefs minus 10.5, over under 52.5. Pete, some news on this. We record the show on Thursday. You listen to it on Friday. Chris Jones placed on the COVID reserve list on Thursday. So we don't know what that'll mean exactly. By the way, not a great week for the NFL, just in terms of, like, if you're worried about games being canceled and players missing, a lot of COVID situations popping.
It's going to happen.
Sure.
You test every day, you're going to have positive tests. It's the bottom line.
It's going to continue to get worse, though, as the general public now has more outbreaks than they've ever had. So
the question becomes, what do you do? They supposedly planned for it. That was the whole idea about expanding everything. In some situations, if there's not an outbreak and you're seeing that, they're going to play on, which they should. Just like an injury. I mean, it's not the same as an injury, clearly, obviously, but you got to handle it like an injury. So I think they're going to play. I think that you're seeing more and more that they're going to try and play on. But I mean, like some of these games, like the 49ers game, most of those guys were out because of injury, not because of COVID. Injuries are just decimating teams this year. That's part of the big problem. But anyway, that's a whole nother story. Back to the game. I will lay the points. Even without Chris Jones, I just think that you saw last week the start of Mahomes getting back to being Mahomes. We only had seen one game of that. We saw it against the Ravens. We saw it against the Jets last week, and the Jets stink, but I just think that that's who they are. They can talk all they want about their running game and getting Bell and Edwards-Helaire and everything else, but they're Mahomes' team. He will light this team up. And I give Panthers credit. They played better than I thought on defense this year. I just think this is a bad spot for them. They're in a bad downward trend right now, and I'll lay the points with the Chiefs.
But I think this offense can keep up and cover, so I'm taking Panthers as a best bet at plus 10.5. I love getting Teddy as a dog, of course, 19-4 against the spread as a dog in his career, also 17-3 against the spread on the road. That Carolina offense is respectable. They're 12th in DVOA. They're getting C-Mac back, run CMC. I made the same mistake that Brinson has before. We're calling up C-Mac. The run game boost is key versus that poor Kansas City rush defense. That's how you beat Kansas City, is running on them. So Carolina's only lost once by more than one score. That was thanks to 4 turnovers, as long as they're not making a ton of dumb mistakes here, and Teddy doesn't have a history of doing that, then I think they're going to get the cover. And Kansas City thrashed an awful Jets team, but they haven't been firing on all cylinders either, you know, on their side. So I like Carolina.
I didn't play the game. I passed, but you know what? Chris Jones being out and Christian McCaffrey coming back are pluses. I would lean a little bit to the Panthers. I just, you know, the Chiefs are a great team, but they're Super Bowl champs, and Super Bowl champs start to fade a little bit in the middle of the season, because it's season started. We're 7-1. Great start. We're the best team in football. And then there's a little bit of a lapse, and then the coach, you know, starts to turn it around. And that's not just with the Chiefs. It happens to all Super Bowl teams because the line catches up with them. And you're looking at an NFL game, and 10.5 points, that's a lot of points. And, you know, I like the stats that RJ threw out about Teddy Bridgewater. He can keep up on offense in this game, because the Chiefs defense isn't a great defense. And without their best player in, if Chris Jones doesn't play, I think that Carolina can keep up.
I agree. And I think Chris Jones is a huge deal for this defense, especially against Christian McCaffrey. I don't know. I know that Jason Lockeford reported that Christian McCaffrey won't have
pitch count.
What's that?
Restrictions. Is that the word? You're looking for restrictions?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. He'll be, well, yeah, we won't have a play count. He won't have any restrictions. Right. Thank you. I don't know why I completely blanked on that. I probably, because Brent Snedeker is currently daggering what would be 3 straight first round leaders. I've got 3 of the guys that are tied at 3.
I knew that's what this was when he
Snedeker's
was
ruining it. I love Snedeker.
He was watching golf. I knew it.
At any rate, the Panthers are going to keep it close. I just think they will. I think the Chiefs, when you look at what they do versus certain teams against the Jets are good against the run sneakily. Quinton Williams is playing really well. So they threw the ball a ton. They kept throwing it because they couldn't run effectively. Carolina will let you run on them. And so I would anticipate that the Chiefs will run the ball, take some shots over the top. They'll score plenty of points, but I don't think they'll be able to slow Carolina down very much. I like the over in this spot. I'm and I'm going against all the things that Kenny is talking about, but I'm picking my spots here for the overs. So I'll take the over. I like the Panthers as well. If I was picking the game,
I'm on an island.
Chief, well, you're on Mahomes Island. Could be worse.
Yeah, yeah. There's some bad. You could be on Nick Foles Island, like I am on the next game. I think
Mahomes Island is a resort, five star.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Mahomes Island is like the Bahamas. Foles Island is like Alcatraz. And you know what? You are not actually on Foles Island. I don't believe, Pete. However, the Bears are at the Titans. The Titans are laying 6. The over under 46.5. What do you think here?
You know, look, there's some line injury issues for the Bears up front, but the Titans don't rush the passer. And when Foles isn't rushed and he gets streaky and into a rhythm, he can actually play good football. I don't think he's a good quarterback, but he can get streaky at times. And I think this is a perfect opportunity for him to get streaky. And I think they're going to hang in this game because of his ability to make throws down the field. And on the other side, their defense is pretty good. And when we think about the run game, that's what the Titans want to do. Everything is predicated off the run game. I think they'll slow down Derrick Henry. And I think this is going to be a game. It wouldn't shock me to see the Bears win it, but you're going to give me a touchdown, almost a touchdown. I'm taking it. I'll take the Bears as one of my best bets.
Yeah, I'm completely in alignment with Pete here. I also have Bears as best, but you should be able to get 6.5 too, depending on whether the line moves. But right now it's 6.5. Tennessee offense is excelling, 3rd in points per drive, 4th in DVOA, 2nd in red zone success rate. But Chicago's defense is also a top unit. They're the type of team that can stop this team. They're 6th in DVOA, but number 1 in 3rd down success rate and red zone success rate. So Titans, I think, are going to have trouble moving the ball on 3rd downs and in the red zone. And Taylor Lewan's absence will be felt on that offensive line too. I mean, the team has a good pass rush, and they can go and get after Ryan Tannehill. And then Tennessee's defense is awful. So yeah, Chicago has those offensive line absences, but Clowney might miss the game. He's been dealing with a knee injury. Beasley got cut. So I don't know who's going to put that pressure on. I know Simmons can. I know they still have Landry, but Chicago's offense isn't good, but they should have some success in this matchup against a defense that has the highest third down percentage allowed through 7 games in the last 30 years is how bad the Titans have been on third down. So they can get to 20, then get to 24. They'll cover this game. And yeah, love the Bears plus 6.
No, I'm in complete agreement with the Bears defense will slow down or shut down Tennessee's offense. The Bears defense is that good. I've got them ranked 6th in the NFL right now. Their offense, though, is where I'm worried about, and that's why I like the game under the total. They're averaging 4.5 yards per play over their last 5 games, just going nowhere. And I know Tennessee's defense isn't great, but I do have them ranked 18th in the NFL, slightly below average. But they should be able to slow down Foles and company. And I just think this is too big of a number. Again, totals overinflated, open 46, went to 47. I only made it 42. And again, it's strength versus one team strength, and it's a weakness. The Bears' offense is such a weakness against a weaker team, but I still think that both defenses have that advantage over the other team. So I'll take it under.
I got no play here, but I would lean towards the Bears. I just don't think the Titans defense is terrible. The Bears play in 1-score games in all but one of their games, and the Titans basically do the same thing. I mean, these are just 2 1-score teams. It's going to come down to a field goal, and if that's the case, I want the 6 points. So Kenny, but you don't love the Bears, right?
No. I have a lean to the Bears, though. I only made it 4.5, so I do have a small lean to the Bears.
Do you want to throw it in a
Yeah, throw it in a parlay.
All right, Bears plus 6, first leg of the parlay. Dolphins at the Cardinals. The Tua Tagovailoa show on the road after his thrilling debut against the Rams at home. I can't do it again.
You did it yesterday. Don't do it again.
I was joking with Pete on the podcast show. I was like, oh, the Tua show. What a phenomenal. He took down the Rams and their stingy defense with this incredible quarterback play. He's going to Arizona to play the Cardinals coming off a bye. The Cardinals are minus 4.5, Pete. The over under 48.
Number one offense against the number one scoring defense. Something has to give. And I don't think that the Dolphins have played like the number one scoring defense. They've been good and they've been better, but they're not that good. And so I think in this spot, I think Arizona, which is coming off a bye, they were rolling a little bit before the bye. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle that. But I think they found something on offense. Murray's playing really good football. I think he's going to be a problem, for that Miami defense. And on the other side, Tua did nothing last week. He didn't have to, but in this game, he's going to have to. And we still don't know if he can. So that's an uncertainty there. So I'm going to lay the 4.5. 4.5 is one of my best bets with the Cardinals.
Cardinals don't look like the number one offense either, though. So I would lean to the Cardinals, though. I mean, this is the type of spot where I would usually love to take the Dolphins. I think the number was too big going into it. Miami's defense looks great, but they do struggle against the run. They're 32nd in the league in DVOA and 29th in yards per rush allowed. And this is a terrible matchup for them because Arizona has a great run offense, second in yards per rush, despite only being fifth in attempts. So they run a lot, and they're still able to be efficient with it. So that's really good. Fourth in DVOA. Miami lost this year to Cam, Josh Allen, and Russell Wilson. Those are the QBs that got wins on them. Kyler Murray can move. He can move as good, as if not better, than some of those guys. So Miami's offense did nothing last week. It's hard to know what to expect from Tua here on the road. But so I'm only making it a lean. But if I was a little more confident that Tua would struggle, I would make it a best bet.
I'm going under in the game. Did well with the under last week, second half, when I saw the numbers at halftime, the Miami-Ram game. I thought, what? They're not even throwing it. Tua's done nothing whatsoever. And there's been defensive touchdowns and takeaways and turnovers by the Rams. So I'm going to go under this week. The one thing, I was just looking at my numbers, and RJ was talking about Arizona's run offense, and it's Kyler Murray. It's not the running backs. They're right now 21st in the NFL, running back yardage, 4.1 yards a rush. So not a great run game for the running backs. Miami's got to take away Kyler Murray and cut his yards down. I think they can. Their defense is good. I was shocked to hear that Pete said number one scoring defense. There they are, 18.6. They're not that good. But I've got them ranked 11th in the NFL right now. And Arizona, I keep telling you, week in and week out, this is a good defense. They are a very good defense. So I'm going under in this football game. Two young quarterbacks, two above-average defenses.
Here's the thing about the running backs really quick. The best one is not going to play. I think Drake is hurt, so Edmonds is in. Edmonds has looked way better than Drake, you know, when you watch these games. So that might also affect them, that he could have a big game here.
I would I know that the running backs haven't. Yeah, I think Edmonds is the key. Like, he's going to unlock a lot of stuff for this offense. They needed to move to him sooner, and now the Kenyon Drake injury allows them to do it. I think the unders are a good play. I mean, Arizona, I think that I don't know if the books are caught up in this, or they're just trying to. I don't know how they're trying to set it up, but I think they tend to give Cliff Kingsbury's air raid offense a little more credence than it probably deserves, and as a result, I think you can get some value in the under. These Cardinals games just tend to go under. They run the ball a ton. They don't eat up a ton of play. They eat up a lot of play clock. I think Miami will want to be careful and slow and methodical too with Tua. They're not going to take a bunch of shots down the field.
Arizona will 5-1-1 to the under this year. The only game that went over was against Seattle.
Yeah. And Seattle's maybe the best ever team in the league. So, I like Arizona. I like the under, and I have the Cardinals as the best bet too. I just think Miami's not going to do. Like, Kingsbury's going to run the ball. If McVay had run the ball, they would have won that game. And he just gave up on it and let Jared Goff pass for some ridiculous reason. Jackson's at Jaguars. Texans at Jaguars. The Texans are, oh man, I'm tired. The Texans are -6.5. The over under is 50.5. And Pete, I think that you smell some scoring.
But look, they're the first team in history to give up 30 or more points in every one of their games, the Jaguars, to open or third team. I think they become the first team if they do it again, and they're going to do it again. 7 straight games? I mean, that's terrible. They're a terrible defense. They can't stop anybody. Even though they're getting Miles Jack back in this game, they're not a good pass-rushing team. I think Watson's going to throw the ball around. And then on the other side, the Texans are terrible on defense too. The Jake Luton error starting this week. And I think he's going to actually make some plays in this game. But I can't take the Jaguars in the game. I would probably lean to the Texans in the game, but I think this thing is going way over the total. That's one of my best bets.
Over with a 6-round rookie, you know, Jake Luton playing his first game. It's just
garbage time.
Don't know what you're going to expect there. Maybe. My pick here, Texans are the other part of my teaser. I like them to tease them down to, I think it's at -7 now, so you're probably going down to 1, but in ours, we have it 6.5. So they just need to win. I'm at -0.5 with them, and Indy +8.5. Houston's pass offense is great, 3rd in net yards per attempt, 10th in DVOA. Jaguars are 32nd in both stats and a lot of other defensive stats you could find. But yeah, you're right. Houston's D also isn't great, but you know, he gets to face that rookie there. I think that matchup helps create turnovers, where Houston has the worst turnover rate in the league on D. I think that they'll be able to get some on him if they get a little bit of pressure. I don't want to best bet a 1-6 team to win by a touchdown on the road, so I'm just going to tease it down.
Yeah, I'm playing Houston here. You know, and when I started to put the game together, I started looking, and Pete, I said, this is a really good over, and then And then I thought the same thing RJ just thought. I'm not going over with a sixth round NFL draft pick and Jay Luton. I rate every quarterback out before the season, and I had him a below average rookie rating. I've actually have him 6 points below average.
Would you would you go over if it was Minshew?
Yeah, I would go over if it was
Minshew. I think Minshew stinks. And I think this kid's actually got a chance to do something in this game. But the question becomes, he hasn't had many snaps with the first teamers. That's the problem right there.
Yeah, no, that is a big problem. I didn't have him rated very highly. We'll see. I have a 7 point drop off from Minshew to Luton.
Ooh, I wouldn't do that.
And that's gigantic. So that leaves me with Houston as a 14-point favorite in the game. It's my best bet of the weekend. I think Deshaun Watson destroys the Jacksonville defense, and Luton's going to turn it over. And it's hard to predict a defensive touchdown, but I think Luton will turn it over a couple times, though, and it'll set Houston up in good field position.
That's entirely possible. I don't like the over. I understand the construct of the over, and it could absolutely happen in garbage time. My concern would be that Houston has been hitting these overs because they've been down big and having to like throw to Will Fuller and Brandon Cooks and come back. And if they get a lead, I could absolutely see Romeo Crennel just blitzing Luton and forcing the Jaguars to try and throw, and it just doesn't work out. That's the only reason I'd be scared of that under.
Two and one under the last 2 weeks. 2-1, Houston.
And Jacksonville too. Like Jacksonville sucks. Jacksonville's terrible. They just might not score. This could be 10-7 at half. Hey,
Jacksonville 3-2 to the under. 3-2 to the under last 5 weeks.
They're deep. It'll be like the Chargers game.
Okay. I don't have any interest in. Anything.
By the way, just for FYI, Kenny, the people in Jacksonville that I talked to, because I didn't get a chance to go up there and see him this year, but I heard he was whipping that ball around pretty darn good in the summer.
Who, Luton?
Yeah, but you don't know how it's going to handle when he gets hit in the mouth. But he was good at Oregon State last year. I'm telling you,
I gotta go, guys.
I don't think Minshew's getting his job back.
I hung up on CBS. One thing, Pete, that I do look at is Mike Glennon. I had Mike Glennon rated only 2 points below Minshew, so I thought Glennon would be the quarterback. And I always like to say, I give the benefit of the doubt of the coaching staff that they know who the guy is. But I think they might be trying to see what they have instead of being better than Glennon. I gotta go, guys.
All right,
I'm gonna yell at somebody and.
They always call early.
They're ridiculous. If they see you on at 5:52, they blow you up. Like, can he gonna sit there for 8 minutes? You know he's on the podcast with us, guys. What are you doing? I tried to text Rob, our buddy, the producer, and say, "Tell those mofos to stop calling Kenny." And I texted him and said, "It autocorrected to Moose."
There were two more games Kenny was involved in. Now we just got to go through his games.
He's involved in a lot more, but I'm on the same side of him on both of these, so I can.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Well. Oh, this is a little head-to-head battle then. 2v2. The Broncos Falcons game. Falcons -3.5 over under 50. Pete, Kenny likes the Kenny's on a lot of unders this week. And it's probably smart time, but you are not.
No, I'm not. Not in this one. I just think, look, Locke found something in the fourth quarter last week. I really like what I saw from him. And now, you know, I've been on him for a while. I've been expecting this. I like him as a quarterback. I think he's a gunslinger. He's going to eventually be a pretty good quarterback. And I think this Falcons defense, I know they've played better. I just don't believe in them yet. And on the other side, Matt Ryan and Julio Jones should be able to light this up. So I'm on the over. That's one of my best bets this week. I think this one gets in about 55. I think it's going to get in that range.
Yeah, the under isn't a best bet for me. But I'm going to, go a little stronger on it to try to be make Kenny's case for him. I think the line is too high though, but I don't want to back Denver coming off a miracle win. I mean, they could have easily lost that game by 14, 17, whatever. And, they could be, I don't know that their momentum is going to carry over to this game. I think the line is too high, but I don't want to take Denver. So Denver's a good under team. They're 4-3 to the over this year, but the D is 7th in DVOA, 6th in third down percentage, 3rd in red zone percentage. I mean, they're good at when they need to be good, and their games are still just creeping over. Their offense hasn't been good. They're, bottom four in those stats I just cited. Atlanta's offense is surprisingly subpar in DVOA as well, 23rd. Struggling in the red zone. Calvin Ridley might not play. That would be a big loss for them when one of those guys misses the game. The offense is a little, struggles a little more. So total is just too high for me in a game between two offenses I have some questions about. So I would lean to the under there.
I would take the over here. I think the over is the play. I think this is a shootout. And I think we're talking with our buddy Nick about this for DFS. Drew Locke, Jerry Jeudy, Julio Jones. That's the start of a Millie Maker. And we talked about this on the DFS podcast, too. I think Drew Locke would be able to cut it loose. I don't buy that Falcons defense is fixed. I don't buy that they're like better. And I mean, a little worried, you know, that I'm a little worried that it could end up starting slow and then you have to hope for garbage time. But I just think Atlanta is willing to get in a shootout with a team that might be willing to throw downfield a little bit more with some of its weapons in the fold. So I will take the over as well. Kenny is on the under. Patriots -7.5 at the Jets.
I'm a violator. Take the Jets. I'm a violator. I'm being an idiot violator is what I'm doing. The tenant says don't ever take the Jets, and here I am. I think they're going to hang around.
You're taking the winless ATS Jets.
I am. I think they're going to hang around because I don't think the Patriots are very good. I think the Patriots, when you look at them as a whole, they're not very good, and they play a game that will allow you to hang around. And if you're going to give me that many points, I'm going to take it. I don't know. I just think the Jets will hang around. I don't think they're good, but I don't think the Patriots are good either. And you're going to give me that many points at home on a Monday night. I'm taking it.
I'm glad you were brave enough to do it. I wanted to do it, but I couldn't do it with the Jets. If New England is an average team, you know, I have them at zero in my power rating, then the line's too low, but I don't really believe that zero. I think I'm just slower to move it down and being a little too conservative with it because New England's 24th in DVOA on offense, 27th on defense. They might not even be average. They might be a below average team. So New Orleans the New England offense has to run, but that's the Jets' defense's strength. They're 10th in DVOA on yards per rush. The offense is last in every single category you can cite. They're the Jacksonville Jaguars defense of offenses. They scored 10 or less in 5 of their last 6 games. But with Jets D great against the run, this has to be an under game to me. 42.5 just seems like a lot for a game I expect to be.
I like the under too.
Best bet's my under in this one. And Kenny's best bet is under as well.
So then, Will, you like the under?
Yeah, I always take the under in a Pats.
Put it in the parlay.
Bears
and under.
Jets?
No, I got the Jets.
No, Bears and Pats, Jets under.
Yes, that's all we got. You guys will have to find another one.
Yeah, we'll figure something out.
Yo, RJ, you could have been a violator. Come on over.
Do you like the Seahawks Bills over?
Do I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
RJ?
Sure.
Let's put that in there because Kenny, that's one of Kenny's best bets.
Okay.
In fact, I mentioned it on the podcast show earlier. I said that was my favorite bet of the week is the over in the Seahawks
Bills. All right, we'll put that in.
All right, so we'll do Seahawks Bills. Do you want to talk about that? Then we'll let you go, Pete.
I probably should be going right now. You know that call's coming in about 2 minutes.
All right, that's fine. We'll take a break, and when we come back, RJ and I.
Violator. I'm a violator.
Clip and save that one, Debo. All right, Pete. Thanks as always, buddy. See you later.
See you guys.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, so Kenny had to bounce early because the maniacs, the moos at CBS HQ called him to do the show. But we can point out that he likes the over in the Seahawks-Bills game. And as we said before the break, that will be the third leg of our parlay. So we have Bears plus six. Seahawks Bills over, it's 55 now. It was 51 when it opened. That was the wrong number. And then the under in the Patriots Jets. So, well, that maybe we'll have that parlay live on Monday night. I like the sound of that, RJ. What do you think about this game in particular?
Yeah, I think over's fine. My best bet's the Seahawks. They're 7-1-1 against the spread and 9-0 straight up in 1 p.m. game since 2018. This is a spot you don't have to worry about them traveling east. They're 13-7-2 against the spread versus the AFC since 2015. They don't mind playing teams that are unfamiliar to them. You know, they have a coaching edge with their staff there, and they have a quarterback edge against almost anyone. The only thing Seattle does poorly is defend the pass, but Jamal Adams coming back likely. He needs to return to practice. Carlos Dunlap will be available for the first time, so that should help. And can we trust Josh Allen? I mean, he slowed down considerably in his last four games after an insanely hot start that had people saying MVP for some reason. I think you can get 2.5 at some point, so definitely look for that. But if all you can get is three, then that'll be my best bet, Seattle minus three.
I like the Seahawks minus three, too. So go ahead and add that, Debo, if you don't mind. But I like the over more. I think this over is an absolute slam dunk. And obviously, you'd rather have it at 51. If you'd listen to the Pick Six podcast, YouTube exclusive week nine look ahead lines, you would have gotten it at 51 on the night it came out. It jumped up to a 53.5 by the next morning, and it's basically been climbing ever since, although I'm sure there's been some market resistance at some point. Yeah, we got up to 55.5 and then got bought back down to 55. Is that a key number? Am I?
Yeah, 55 is one you don't want to land on. You get 28, 27 there.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I just think that these two teams will take shots down the field, and they won't defend it very well. And the weather's good. There's no expectation for – I mean, if wind pops up or something like that, I'll buy back. You know, you want to buy back potentially. Like, but it looks like it's going to be 68, sunny. You know, Russell isn't bothered by playing on the East Coast. Chris Carson will be a little hampered, so I think they'll use a lot of DJ Dallas, which means they probably won't be particularly run heavy. And you know, the Bills can't stop anybody. The Bills' defense is awful, and the Seahawks is worse.
That's the thing that helps you out. If Buffalo does struggle on offense, and I have, you know, questions about Josh Allen and with those upgrades that Seattle's make, at least Seattle can get you to 40 by themselves. So.
Right. And they're not afraid to do it either, you know, because they don't trust their defense. So I think, like, I could easily see 40-21. And that gets you the Seahawks and the over. And I think that's another reason. If you do take this, maybe take it with, do the Seahawks. So like, if you do a unit on the over, you like that more. You know, do a half unit on the Seahawks, because I cannot foresee a situation where they don't do their part here.
Yeah, it would. I mean, it seems to happen once a year, twice a year with even good offenses. They just have, you know, a bad game, so it's hard to predict those when they're coming. But I mean, that pass offense is just so tough to defend. And Russell Wilson, you know, he's going to get his in every game.
Do you think DK Metcalf will see Tre'Davious White shadow coverage?
I would think so, but then, you know, you can go wild with Tyler Lockett. So.
Well, that's, I was going to say that we were talking about that on the DFS show, is that, like, Lockett, just take all the props on Lockett. All the Lockett props, all the Russ props. I mean, you probably take all the Metcalf props, too, and all the Diggs props. Like, that's another way to attack this game, too, is because it's 55 points. That's a lot of points. Like, 31-20 doesn't get you there, and that's pretty, you know, 30-21, whatever the score would be. So you can attack it with the props if you want. Like, if maybe they stall in the red zone, but they're going to throw the ball a ton. So I think go look at whatever Lockett and particularly Lockett, but also Metcalf and maybe Stephon Diggs as well. Could what kind of value they could present? Okay, so we have the parlay in. That's good. Raiders at the Chargers. Game's a pick'em now. And the over under 52. And Kenny likes the over here. Kenny's talking about unders all day long, and he's got two overs, RJ. What do you think about this game?
I would lean to the over too. I would lean to Vegas as well. Chargers lost eight straight in the AFC West. They struggled at home, and their last four have gone over. So, yeah, it just seems like everything kind of lines up for those two sides. Vegas is a good over team. They're ranking fifth in points per drive on offense and 31st on defense. That's a formula where you're going to see a lot of points. So my rating, it's slightly into Vegas, but Chargers are the healthier team. So it's just a stay away from me at pick, but this was 1.5 Chargers and now it's at picks. So you can, the market is telling you that the Raiders are probably the right side.
Yeah. I would rather have I like the Raiders. Not quite a best bet, but I'm surprised at the Chargers love here. I think the Raiders are a better team. The Raiders are sort of undervalued. Like, they were dogs going into Cleveland. I even know that was a weird game at the wind at all, but I mean, there's no reason to just fade the Raiders in that spot. And they try hard. John Gruden's doing a good job. The defense isn't particularly good. I would lean towards the over here as well. I don't know if we want to add that in the parlay though.
No, leave it out.
Okay. Steelers minus 14. I know this one thing to note about this Raiders Chargers game. Joey Bosa is still in concussion protocol. Chargers defense hasn't been very good. I think they'll let Derek Carr throw, but it's like Josh Jacobs' time right now. I mean, he had 31 carries against the Browns. Like, they are not afraid to lean on Josh Jacobs. I could see him having another, like, he had a big game, but didn't actually score. I feel like he could actually have, there could be a breakout game coming at some point for him, and it might be this week.
Yeah, that was a product of the win too. They weren't going to throw the ball with Derek Carr, you know, in that game. So yeah, Jacobs gets 31 carries. You can't expect that going forward.
Okay. Maybe not. Steelers minus 14 at the Cowboys. Over under 41.5. Kenny has this as a best bet for the under. You riding?
I don't know what to think about this game. I think the Steelers can score 42 points. So I don't know that I love the under, but I can't play Pittsburgh as a 14-point favorite on the road. Perfect sleepy spot for them. You know, they have those games every year that they should roll and then they win by three or they lose. And you're like, how did that happen? But I can't take whoever's starting at quarterback for Dallas versus the elite defense either. So I'm just staying away from it.
Okay. I don't think you can take Dallas. I mean, it is just a stay away and that under's too low. It is like it's, you could see Pittsburgh having a defensive score too. And like then, and then James Conner going nuts, Ben taking a couple of shots, but I agree. I mean, Dallas every year under Mike Tomlin, and Mike Tomlin's probably a Hall of Fame coach, but every year under Mike Tomlin, they go on the road as an 8, 9, 10 point favorite and just lay a complete egg. And wouldn't this be the spot? Like, nobody wants anything to do with the Cowboys. Wouldn't this be the spot?
And Pittsburgh just got carved up by a great run offense. You know, Dallas is going to come to this game and just hand it to Zeke 40 times. So
that's all you can do.
If Pittsburgh's defense struggles against the run again, I mean, Dallas could score 17, 13, 20 and make it a little bit closer than people think.
Okay. All right. To the Giants at Washington. These NFC East games are just terrible. Washington minus 2.5 over under 42. You and Kenny are in lockstep on a best bet here.
Yeah, I'm going under 42. Seems like a high number for me. I'd make it, you know, maybe 2 or 3 points lower. Both teams are much better on defense, where Washington ranks 4th in DVOA. Giants rank only 18th, but we saw that they showed up against Tampa. It seems like they might be rounding into form a little bit. Both offenses, though, are in the bottom 5 of DVOA and the bottom 3 of points per drive. So strategy versus spread is to take the Giants if it gets the 3, but under is the better play for me, so that's why it's the best bet.
Okay. I'll get on board with that under. I mean, I don't have it or anything, but I mean, like I like the idea that this game could easily go under. I mean, this is two teams that just don't score. And the one thing I might worry about is a Washington scoop score, pick six, just how bad Daniel Jones has been. And he's going to get pressured a ton, but Jason Garrett has been pretty good in the division. Even with the Giants have been pretty good in the division somehow. So it's possible that we see him I think they'll come in very conservative and try to run the ball with Wayne Gallman. It won't be very successful. Washington will be equally as conservative on their side of the ball. And it feels like 6-3.5. And you're feeling really good about the 42.
Another 20-19 game. That's what the final was a few weeks ago between these teams.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that was with some explosion in scoring late. I think there was like two touchdowns and a field goal in the fourth quarter or something.
Nothing worse.
Went back into like a 10-6 type of game.
What's nothing worse? You like sitting there 10-6, like your feet up, and all of a sudden it's like Scott Hansen's like, let's go to Washington. And you're like, oh no, do not go to Washington, Scott. Okay. Lions at Vikings is off the board. Matthew Stafford's on the COVID list. We don't know if he'll play or not. The reports out there were that he just had a close contact, not that he was actually tested positive. So that's important. He could probably get cleared in time for this game. I don't know what you do with it.
Yeah, it was Vikings minus four before it came off the board. Super contest without knowing the Stafford news gave it out at Vikings minus 5.5. I think that's more hedging their bets. You would expect if Stafford was out, it would probably be above 7. That's a lot for a Vikings team that hasn't looked good in a lot of portions of this year. Assuming Stafford plays, and I think he will, I would lean toward Detroit plus 4. It feels like a field goal game between two even teams. So it'd probably be 3 points either way. You're getting an extra point there if you take the Lions.
Okay. And I like the over prop for Dalvin Cook rushing yards in this game. I think they're going to just feed him. I think that's just going to be their plan for the next month is just we are 2-5, right? Let's see how many carries Dalvin Cook can take. See if we can just turn this into a run heavy offense and force teams to pass against us. I think the defense plays a little bit better. So I would lean over because I think they can score. I think both teams could probably score at will. If Stafford plays, if not, you just stay away from it. By the way, if you want to enter the Pick Six podcast parlay, you need to add two more teams to it, but you can win $1,000. We're hitting the parlay so much that they created a contest for us, odds provided by William Hill Sportsbook. It's open from Tuesday through Sunday. You pick 5 teams against the spread and we give out $1,000 guaranteed every week. Go to cbssports.com/parlay, cbssports.com/parlay. And I will give out a 5-game parlay now. But I'm going to give out 6 games, and RJ's going to take one away that he hates. So let's start. Seahawks. Ooh, I knew you won't take this one away. Seahawks minus 3. Washington minus 2.5. I bet you're taking that one away. Panthers plus 10.5. Broncos plus 4 or 4.5, whatever it is. Texans minus 6.5. And Cardinals minus 4.5.
Yeah, I think 4 of those I really like. So it really boils down to Washington or Denver. I was worried about the Denver pick, just because I don't know what I'm going to see with them have that miracle cover. Washington, if it was 3, I would take them out at 2.5. I could see that happening. So I'll go ahead and take out Denver out of that group.
But Denver's 3.5. Sorry, not 4.5. So there you go. That's even makes it even more of a reason to do it. All right. So my 5-game parlay is Seahawks, Washington, Panthers, Texans and Cardinals. You go throw that in at cbssports.com/parlay. Maybe you win yourself $1,000. I can't do it because I'm an employee of CBS, but, and I guess my parents can't do it or my brother can't do it, but you can do it, podcast listener. Fire away. So here's the recap from the show. The parlay is Bears plus 6. What is wrong with me today? Jets, Pats under. Seahawks, Bills over. So those are our 3 picks in our Pick 6 podcast parlay. Now, what are we? 4 of 8. He's hitting 50% of it on a parlay. It's pretty good. Pete's got the Chiefs, the Texans over. These are his best bets, of course. The Jets. I mean, this guy's on a heat check mission. The Cardinals, Broncos, Falcons over, and the Bears. Kenny has, holy Moses, 11 best bets this week.
He's trying to catch up on the total because he has a lot. I don't think he did anything in week 1, so he's a lot less than this.
Whew. I mean, Kenny's got some unders too. So he's got 2 overs. Seahawks, Bills over, Raiders, Chargers over, like both of those. Saints at Bucks, he's got the Saints plus 4.5. Has the Texans minus 6.5, and that is a 3-star super master lock Alaskan lead pipe lock of the week from Kenny. He makes the Texans minus 14.5 in this game. He has he has literally 7 unders. Broncos, Falcons under, Dolphins, Cardinals under 48, Ravens, Colts under 47, Bears, Titans under 46.5, Patriots, Jets under 42.5, Steelers, Cowboys under 41.5, and Giants, Washington under 42. Whew, Kenny. RJ's got a list of picks himself. Seahawks minus 3, Panthers plus 10.5, Bears plus 6, Baltimore, Indy under 47, New England, New York under 42.5, Giants, Washington under 42, and a tease with Houston minus a half a point and Indy plus 8.5. I like that tease a lot. And now my picks. The Bills, Seahawks over, Seahawks minus 3, Colts plus 2.5, Bucks minus 4.5, Panthers over 52. And I should mention too that I like the Panthers team total over at 20.5 if you can find it. Not 21.5. 20.5. It's 3 touchdowns from Teddy Bridgewater against Christian McCaffrey. That's against a Chris Jones-less Chiefs team. Cardinals minus 4.5 and Broncos Falcons over 49.5. That's a lot of picks this week.
And we're up against each other on a few.
Yeah.
So it's not like we're going to have a 22-2 week again.
No. Well, that's what happened last week. We were up against each other in a bunch of stuff, and everything went rotten for me and good for Pete. Good show, RJ. Good stuff as always. See you next week. It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.